you are the light of the world. That is, if you're a Christian, you are a light of the world. Now, do you believe that? Jesus said it. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray thy divine light of thy precious Holy Spirit will fall upon our hearts this day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text is from Mark chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. Let me read these verses to you. It says, He said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Now notice that Jesus switches here from speaking of the good ground in the parable of the sower that brought forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold to the parable of the candle. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not set on a candlestick? In case you think that this saying of Jesus was possibly said at another time and not part of the discourse that included the parable of the sower, I shall take you to Luke chapter 8, because this other gospel is serving us as a point of reference today. In this 8th chapter of Luke, this parable of the candle is also made part of the discourse, including the parable of the sower. So then it is perfectly clear to us there's a good soil candle connection here. The good soil represents a Christian who, upon receiving the word, will let his light shine. He will not hide his light. He will not be as foolish as a man who puts the candle under the bed, who takes the candle off the candlestick, which was sitting on the dining room table, and puts the candle under the bed. No, a Christian who has good soil, who has a good heart for the seed of God, will be sure to put the candle where it belongs, on the candlestick, on the dining room table, to give light to the whole house. This parable tells us that no one who is born of God, having received light from Jesus, that is salvation, should then take his light of salvation and hide it where no one can benefit from it. The moment you receive the seed that is the light of Jesus, you will be held responsible to share this light with others, and particularly with unbelievers, because the purpose of light is to penetrate and drive away darkness. It is my observation, my friend, that there are many Christians who, after they are born of God, they study and study and study the Bible hundreds of hours a year, yet they cannot count 1 hour a year when they have made an earnest effort to even share their light with one unbeliever. All their Bible study is for self-edification and the edification of other Bible students at the expense of an earnest effort to sow the seed of the gospel in the neighborhood and in the hearts of acquaintances. My friend, we're all called to be sowers, and we're all called to be light givers. We as Christians want to know more and more about God. That's good. But if there's not a parallel desire within us to also share that knowledge of God with sinners, there's something amiss in our Christianity. The record of the church in America when it comes to soul-winning efforts is dismal, despicable, poor, and shameful. The cry, Lord, reveal yourself to me more and more, should be matched with the cry, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. And that should drive us, I say, drive us to prayer. That should drive us to go out to the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Oh, my friend, us having received this great salvation ought to make sowers who go forth to sow the gospel of God everywhere, by the wayside, on stony ground, amongst the thorns, and on good ground as well. For us having spiritual bread in abundance ought to make us realize that we have a great responsibility to spread that spiritual manna to the millions who've never even had a bite of it. If we have gospel bread, my friend, we live off it, we eat it, but should we not also share it with our unbelieving acquaintances so they can have a meal as well? Oh, what a text! Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? This is a warning. Don't hide what you have. Share what you have with the world. You were born again to be a light. Now let's go on a little light journey. Jesus was the first light in this dark world. And in John, the first chapter, we read these beautiful words. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Observe the word light here in your Bible, and it is written with a capital L, referring to the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. He has spiritual light for the whole world. There is no other spiritual light in the world but in Jesus and coming from Jesus. A lot of people say there's a lot of good in some of these other religions, or at least there's some good in some of these other religions. There's some light there we can use. Friends, the problem with this and all other religions in the world is this. The Bible tells us that there is absolutely no spiritual light in any religion in the world, except in the religion where Jesus Christ is worshipped and adored and followed. Jesus is the only source of spiritual light in the world. There's none other whatsoever. So the first thing that God created was light, because if you have no light, you have no life. If the sun would stop shining, then all life on earth would end. And now here in John, we find out that Jesus is a spiritual light. We don't have him, we have no life. We can't get it from any other religion, but only from Jesus. And if we don't keep our eyes on him, we cease to receive his light. There's a beautiful story in the Old Testament, and it is alluded to in the New Testament. It is a story where the children of Israel were disobedient. Then God sent fiery, poisonous serpents amongst them. And Moses prayed, and God had him set up a serpent of brass. And the people were told that if they would look and keep their eyes on this serpent of brass, the poison of these awful serpents around their feet would have no effect on them. If they would look upon the serpent of brass, they would live. And this is the parable to what I'm talking about today. As long as you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will receive life and light from him. And there's nothing in this world that can hurt you. Now then, as long as you look upon Jesus, the light of the world, you have light, and you are a light in this world. Let's go to the biblical basis for this. Let me take you to the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, verse 35. Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light," with a capital L, "lest darkness come upon you." So what is he saying here? He says it is just for a little while that you have my light, that I as a light will be amongst you. It won't be long and I'll be gone, and I'm the light of the world. So while you have it, while you have me giving you light, pay attention. Now this begs the question, what will happen What will happen once Jesus leaves the world, the earth, who is and was the light of the world? Well, it gets us to the Sermon on the Mount, and this is in Matthew chapter 5. I'll read to you verse 14 following. Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world." Think of that. He says to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father." Jesus told the people, "I'm leaving. I am the light of the world, and I'm leaving this earth, but once I leave this world, I will let my light shine through my disciples, and then they become lights to this world. So then the world will be no brighter than the lights of the saints that walk upon the earth." If we don't let our lights shine, if we don't put them on candlesticks, we shall be held accountable on the day of judgment. And this brings out the great importance of witnessing at every possible opportunity, unless the Lord checks us on it. Because we see in the book of the Revelation that those who are gathered around the throne of God are those who've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Oh, we must testify at every possible opportunity to keep our lights burning through obedience and to shed the light on others. One of the great problems we have in our country is that we have so many Christians, and they want Bible studies and Bible studies and Bible studies and Bible studies. Now, don't get me wrong. What do you think I do all week, or a good part of the week? I study the Bible. I read it. I try to get it in my heart. So I am not against Bible study. We must read the Word. We must meditate on it in the morning, at noontime, in the evening, and at nighttime. Oh, yes, praise God. The Word is our sword, is our strength, is our comfort. But there is a real problem with all of these Bible study addicts, as I may call them here for a moment. They, as a whole, do not witness for Jesus. Most of them have never won one single soul to Christ. Most of them do not go to a prayer meeting because they have no burden for the lost. They easily, readily go to a Bible study, but they will not show up at a church prayer meeting on a regular basis to agonize for the lost and dying world. They will not take time out to go to acquaintances and say, "I want to share with you about my Lord." They study and study and read and study and get a certain pleasure in doing so. But my friend, they are people who hide their light under a bed or under a bushel basket. This is very, very serious and a great concern to me, and it grieves the Lord. For Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. And our mission is that we will, my friend, fulfill this great calling, this great work of God, to seek and to save the lost. And we won't get it done but by letting our lights shine for Jesus. Well, thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This program will continue next week at the same time. I'm Pastor Schulze, and goodbye now until then.